It's wonderful to see everybody this morning. So many faces, so many names that I see, and such an encouragement to all of us to be able to come together in a, although in a limited way, to see everyone and to hear each other's voices is such a blessing, and certainly a blessing for me. Having been away for a couple of weeks and not seen you and miss you and just thankful to be able to be with everybody this morning. We have so much to be thankful for, such a beautiful day after a good rain last night and a good cleansing rain, and to wake up to a beautiful day this morning. So thankful for that. And just want to, again, thank everybody for your prayers for Will and for our family. That's been so much appreciated. We feel so blessed by our family here, and just to be able to have that confidence and that comfort that we have in each one of you is such a blessing for us. So thank you for that. I appreciate that so much. And I think there's much I could say about that this morning. You know, I think that's certainly a lot that's been on my mind lately has been related to those circumstances. But I don't think that crying on Zoom would be a good look for me. So I'm going to try to go to a safe place. And that safe place for me this morning is in 1 Kings chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to that context. We'll be looking at some passages there and studying together from 1 Kings chapters 10 and following. You folks remember that Solomon was the wisest man that has ever lived. And he asked God for that wisdom. He requested of God that he would be given wisdom to lead God's people. And God also blessed him with great wealth. You remember that he was with him in more ways than just simply that wisdom that was given to him. And people came from everywhere. And one of those people that came was, in fact, the Queen of Sheba. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verses 8 and 9. And Darren, I forgot about the setting on the screen, so that may not show up great for everybody. I apologize for that.
It's okay.
1 Kings 10, 8 and 9. You'll need your Bibles even more, because you can't read the full screen there. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verses 8 and 9 say this. This is from the Queen of Sheba. She says, "Happy are your men, and happy are those your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." If you look in that context there, 1 Kings 10, the Queen of Sheba gave him 120 talents of gold, which was about 20% of his yearly intake of gold in his kingdom. So she blessed him and honored him in that way as well. And probably it's possible that one of the things that that she was able to see, we find in verses 15 and 16 of this passage. And that was, there were some shields that were made of gold that she was probably able to witness. If not witness, she provided the gold for them. So it says there, verse 15, "Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders and the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold, 3 minas of gold were in each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon." Now, whatever accounting method you use with those shields, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars of gold that went into the production of those shields. They were very special. They were honoring God for the goodness that he had given to the people of Israel and to Solomon. And so these were impressive, no doubt, to see. But, you know, Solomon's wealth is, as we read in some of the passages there in the Old Testament, it was like going outside and picking a rock up, the prevalence of silver that was in the country. So very wealthy time and a very blessed time. However, that was about to change with the ascension of Rehoboam to the throne. And when Rehoboam came along, as Ben read for us, and I appreciate that, Ben, things changed greatly, and they changed because he sinned. He was evil. In fact, if you look back at those verses that we read there in 1 Kings chapter 14 and verses 21 through 31, I can't find it at the moment, but anyway, there was evil, idolatry, sexual sin, and perversion in the land. And so it was very, very common at that period of time because of his sin. And one of the things that we read in these passages is that something very serious took place. And we find that, and we see that there in verses 25 through 28. And I'll put that up on the screen again. In those verses, verses 25 through 28, we see that these special shields of Solomon were taken away, taken captive by Shishak, the king that came up from Egypt. And very sad what happens here, really. What we see is that something that God had provided, something that was a blessing of God, was taken by the enemies of God because of sin. And truly for us, that will happen. When we allow sin to enter our lives and we do poorly, the blessings of God will be taken away from us. And it gives an opportunity to the enemy in order to destroy us. But let's read there in verses 25 through 28. It says, "It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room." This is one of those places that I think, you know, many times I may have just kind of read through pretty quickly without reflecting on what happens, and we have to be careful to do that, not to do that when we're reading the Word of God, that we just move so fast that we miss some things. But what a sad statement there in verse 27, where it says that the king made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guards. What kind of lessons can we learn from that? I want to talk about that for the next few minutes together and just kind of reflect on this a little bit. You know, bronze is an alloy of copper. And so when we're thinking about the value of those things, it's 20% tin and 80% copper. But what a downgrade that was to go from gold down to bronze, and the value of that and the decline of the value in those things. What a downgrade that was to go from one to the other. And, you know, maybe from afar, if people were looking and those shields were out in the sun and the sun was hitting those shields, maybe they, you know, would in some way appear like gold. But they weren't gold. And they were not to be passed off. That substitute was not like the real and the uncommon versus the common of that bronze. And so when we think of that in terms of, just think about that in terms of our prices today in contemporary terms, gold is valued at $1,700 an ounce and bronze is 61 cents. So you go from one to the other, and you know, to a degree, they both look pretty good. And from afar, maybe with that sun shining, maybe you couldn't tell the difference. But I know those guards knew the difference, and certainly Rehoboam knew the difference in the quality of those two. And so Israel had had something very precious to them stripped away from them and replaced by this. And again, that's what the enemy will do. He will try to rob us of our treasure. He will try to convince us that we can make that substitution, and that that substitution will, in its place, work out okay, and that you know, it will serve the purpose that is needed. You know, that wasn't the first time Rehoboam made that kind of trade. Remember that he traded the advice of his father and the way of God for the advice of younger men. And he made that gold to bronze trade earlier in his rulership. So now he has traded again for something that is inferior. And, you know, I wonder if Rehoboam was trying to hide something here as I read through that. And that's kind of the decision that I came to, was that he was trying to kind of pass these off for the real thing. At least maybe to make himself feel better, or however you look at that, but to act as if maybe business was as usual, and that give the impression that everything was okay, and that they still maintained their status. He would give them, they would take them into the guard room. Why would they guard those shields? They didn't really have much value. So it seems to me that he's compromising, and it seems to me that now, for him, there's a degree of dishonesty and a degree of self-justification where he's substituted one thing for the other. Friends, I want you to know this morning that we have something that is far greater than gold, and that is our faith and what we have in our God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is that we can make that substitution. We can make that trade in terms of our faith and the purity of that, and what God delivered to us. And we can make trades all the time and downgrade from the purity and that which is much more precious than gold, and make that kind of transaction. And that's a very, very sad thing, but that's a reality. And we see that in Galatians chapter 1, don't we? Where some would accept another gospel, and Paul says that's not another gospel. But some accept a substitute. Again, when we think about these shields, I think of Ephesians 6 and verse 16, which says, and again, our faith has such a value that we can never allow the enemy to take it. Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, you know, I think about so many times in my life that shield has saved me from many, many problems and many deep wounds that I would have had. We all have these shields, you see, and we cannot allow the enemy to come in and take them. And we cannot allow ourselves to trade off that wonder and beauty of that for something lower. And we've got to honor what it is that God has given to us. And I think about the last couple of weeks for me with Will and the accident that he had and all of that. And I can't help but think how precious that this shield is for me and how much I value that more than Blue Cross Blue Shield, the shield of our faith, and how important that is for us. We can construct shields, but there's nothing like the faith that we have in God. And so I think about the idea of substitution, and I think about the idea of fakes. I was reading about a guy, and you'd be interested maybe to look this fellow up and kind of research him a little bit. His name was Ferdinand de Mara, and he was born in 1912. I think, or actually it was 1921, and lived for about 50 years. But a movie was made about his life, which was so very interesting. Let me just read the list of things that Ferdinand de Mara did in his life. Over the course of 3 decades, he taught classes in psychology, worked as a zoologist, served as dean of the School of Philosophy at Pennsylvania's Gannon College, taught science at a Catholic boys' school, did cancer research in Seattle, worked as a civil engineer in the Yucatan, directed a student counseling center, taught Latin, English, and French at a high school in Maine, served as deputy sheriff in Washington State, was a law student, served as assistant warden of a Texas prison, and counseled terminally ill patients at Good Samaritan Hospital in Anaheim, California. Pretty impressive to read a list like that and think about somebody doing all of that. And you might think, well, here's a guy that's brilliant, and what an amazing education he must have had and energy that he had. But if you read about this guy's life, he was an imposter. None of those things was he qualified to do. And the movie that was made about his life is called The Great Imposter. He didn't do any of those things. One of the major things that he did and that the movie talks about and that there's evidence for is that he, in the Korean War, was a surgeon, and he just read books and read up on things and got in there and started doing surgeries and actually did a pretty good job. But he wasn't the real thing. And finally that came to light, that he was a fake and that he was not any of those things that he said that he was. And we recognize the value of something that's genuine and authentic versus something that's real. I was over at Jared's house the other day and walking through his garage, and I saw a box over in the corner with some Air Jordans in there. And I said, well, are those Air Jordans? He said, oh, no, they're just fakes, you know, just thrown in a box in the corner with dust and dirt on them. They looked good, but they weren't real. I want to talk to you for a few more minutes about some things that we must not do. We must not make these trades, folks, of trading gold for bronze. And the first thing I'd like to suggest is that we must not trade or substitute faith for feelings. And, you know, I wouldn't take anything for being a Christian and for being a part of the kingdom of God and the church and this congregation that I'm so thankful for. I wouldn't take anything for any of that. And that's a wonderful blessing. It feels good to be a child of God. It is such a wonderful thing. But as we think about that, while we do have a feel-good religion, and I feel good, and we all are thankful for that, it is not a feel-good religion. It's not that it's all about us. And sometimes we make that mistake. And we substitute faith for just feeling good. And that's a huge mistake. And many people have made great errors because of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so our senses must not overcome or trump our faith and take over. And I think about myself, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, I change feelings on a daily basis. And the way that I feel one day is not the way that I feel the next day. And that's the nature of our emotions and our feelings. And feelings will fool you. And so we've got to be careful with that. But the Word of God does not, and it never will, and it doesn't change. Hebrews 13 talks about that. It's the same yesterday, Jesus, the Word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we must not make that mistake and make that error. Another thing I'd like to suggest to you is that we not substitute faith for fitting in. And a lot of times we can feel that way. And a lot of people go to great lengths just to feel comfortable. And in some way to be loved by all and not to stand out too much. And but standing for truth and standing for our convictions, the nature of that is that we're going to stand out. And, you know, big cities don't appreciate that, and big colleges don't appreciate that, and other places and circumstances, you know, don't appreciate that. The world doesn't appreciate that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." Look at Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. We have to stand on our convictions and understand that we cannot trade our faith for fitting in and letting the world kind of make us into its mold take over the shape of our lives in the Lord. He says here in verse 1 of Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to this world. Stand for what you know to be right and hold to your convictions and take that golden shield and hold it out in front and the glory of God that is associated with that. And don't let anybody steal that treasure away from you. Don't let anybody take that away from you. But some have substituted those gold shields of consecration for bronze compromise and just for friends or circumstances make a great mistake in terms of that decision. The great philosopher, Dr. Seuss, said this: "Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind." And I think that's a great suggestion. May we never make this mistake of substituting faith for fitting in. Again, let's think about this as well. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. You know, the standards of the world are constantly changing, and there's always an offer of a trade for something that is pure, for something that is an amalgamation, something that is a form or an alloy of what is real. And we must never accept any kind of dumbed down version of what God has delivered to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he starts out in verse 2 talking about what men will do. We won't read all of these things. But in verse 5, he says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And the world is allowing more and more alloy into its life. The world is accepting of more and more things. And we have to be careful as Christians not to allow that to come into our thinking. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, a fairly familiar passage to us, says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And if you look up that word "cheat you" in the Greek, it carries the idea there of being carried off stolen, like a loot or booty would be to be taken away. And so we must not allow that to take place. Don't anyone exchange your gold for bronze. Don't let anybody cheat you or carry you off, or your faith to carry that off. And make no mistake about it. 1 John 5 and verse 12 says that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. So we must not allow that to be the case. I think back to that story with Rehoboam, and I think about what he did with those bronze shields and showing them off, but yet then taking them in and hiding them as if they were real, as if they were valuable, and maybe thinking nobody would notice the difference between those two. And we do that sometimes. We attempt to conceal things rather than bringing forth what has happened, and we sweep it under the carpet rather than making sweeping changes. So we've got to come to a point of honesty about things, and turn to God for what He can give to us. One more thing here, and that is that we be careful not to substitute. We must not substitute faith for a facade. And, you know, to look the part, to dress up and to show up and to say the right words, but none of that to be from the inside, for it to really be authentic and real, and to be an appearance instead of true repentance, and to not, you know, not truly be what God would have us to be. Authenticity being traded for hypocrisy. And Rehoboam, I think, was doing that, trying to save face rather than honest, you know, repentance and change in his life. And so we must not be we must be careful not to allow, not to capitulate to what the world would offer to us. And all that glitters is not gold. I remember as a kid that I was so impressed by fool's gold, and I just started collecting it, not knowing that it wasn't the real thing. And all that glitters is not gold. And there's something that's sincere and real and good and true. And we must find that and buy it and never let it go. And then remember as well that we must test the spirits, and we must also look out for wolves that are in sheep's clothing. We must not substitute faith for a facade. And that's another lesson there. So, in summary, folks, if we can remember that we don't accept a lesser version of the gospel, of the church, of the word of God, and then also of ourselves. Don't accept a lesser version of yourself. Made in the image of God, given a soul by God to honor in an eternal soul. Do not trade the gold of that for the bronze of what this world has to offer, because there's no comparison in the value of those things. Don't let anybody steal your treasure. And we may be enticed to trade generosity for selfishness, sympathetic, loving, and assuming the best for being narrow and suspicious and cold and unloving, to have high principles traded for low, to be constantly attending to the things of God, then to not be attending to the things of God, from goodness to anger, from honorable sexual relationships in marriage to premarital or homosexual or adulterous relationships. We cannot allow the world to steal our treasures, and we must guard our hearts to be sure that that doesn't happen. And so the question I have for us today is, you know, in our homes, or is that what people see? Do our kids see that? Do they see authentic, pure gold, that which is much more valuable than gold, or do they see something else in us? And to reflect on that this morning. And then finally, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, we read there that the Lord said, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich." So we pray that this morning that we'll think about these things. We will reflect on ourselves. And folks, if there's somebody that needs to obey the gospel, get in touch with someone. Or if you've not been doing well and you need encouragement and you need help and you need someone to talk to reach out and to seek that gold that maybe you've compromised. So thank you for listening this morning. I'll turn it back over to Darren.